You know, our Kim, I don't know if she's in here, but Kim, she was praying one day and she felt like the Lord said, go buy hamburgers for the homeless down at the library. And she was obedient, right? We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers, right? Somebody say amen. Show me you're awake, right? And so she stepped out in faith and she bought hamburgers. And I guarantee, I know for a fact, she had no idea the ripple effect of one act of faith, right? And then you heard Brian talk about that he had this listening prayer where he was asking Jesus himself, what do you want me to know? And through that, Jesus showed up in one of his most painful memories and showed him his love and his grace. Isn't that incredible? Can we just give the Lord another hand? Let's right now. He's so good. So good, so good. That's why really part of our mission here at this church, one of the core things we do is we want people to awaken and learn what is it like to hear God speak. It's of the utmost importance that his kids, his sheep, his people know his voice. And so, man, we press into that and you can see, man, why it's so important that, man, people step into the kingdom, people find healing, find freedom. And man, it's fun stuff. Man, I hope y'all are doing good today. Y'all feeling good this weekend so far? It's feeling good out there. Man, it's good to be back. Richie, he killed it last week, didn't he? Can we just give a hand of honor, Richie? So thankful for you, man, and so proud of you, man. You're just doing so good. And man, I got a word that's on my heart today. I actually had prepared something totally different. So in your notes, you're going to see a title of a message that I'm not preaching today. About 9:30 last night, I was finishing up what I thought finishing up, my prayer and preparation, and just felt like the Lord just did like a 180 turn. And so hopefully the Lord allows me to preach that message next week, so that's not for naught. But today I want to teach something else. But before we get there, I want to have a little family business time, all right? We want to have a little family meeting. You know, some of y'all have had family meetings. It was a bad, bad thing when you had family meetings, right? Well, this is a really, really good thing. In your feed that you received on the way in, there was some exciting news, an exciting announcement. You'll see this, and also printed in the inside, is that we are so excited to announce that we are launching our fourth service at 5 p.m. on Sunday nights, starting March 1st. Yes. Some of you are like, oh, I don't know what that means, right? Now here's, let me just give you a little background. I'm gonna spend just a little time and tell you what this is about and why, but many of us, you know, we probably grew up, some of us grew up in church and we probably went to Sunday morning and then, because your parents didn't think you got it, you also went to Sunday night, come on Sunday, you know what I'm talking about. And then for some of us, we had to go Wednesday night as well because we really didn't get it on Sunday. So here's what I want you to know about our Sunday evening church service. It's not like what you experienced when you were a kid. Okay? So this is not an extra service for you to attend on Sunday, okay? So our hope is not that you would come Sunday morning to one of our three services and then go to the night service. No, that's not the case. This service is gonna be very similar to our morning service. We're gonna have teaching, we're gonna have worship, we're gonna have coffee, amen to that, right? And so it's not meant to be a service where you go in the morning and go in the evening, all right? Are we all clear with that? 5 p.m., it's like having a fourth service in the morning, but it's in the evening, which is really weird for some of us, all right? And so the question we should ask is why? Why are we doing this, right? You should ask that question. Why are your leaders doing this? Well, about a year ago, we were looking at just the growth of our church and attendance-wise, and we were feeling, man, we were up against the edge where we're at a point where we're not going to grow much, and I talked to the board, and we prayed about it, and I felt like maybe at that time it was time for us to add a fourth service. That was a year ago, and as I prayed and as we were talking about it, it just felt like the Lord was saying, not yet, and so we kind of put that back on the back burner, on the shelf, and we said, okay, not now. And so as the Lord has been working in our church, we've been seeing continual growth, more and more people coming. And so last month, I was praying again, and I felt like the Lord said, it's time to take that off the shelf. And he gave us the freedom to step out in this fourth service. And so I'm really, really excited about this. So why is it? Number one reason why we're doing this is for capacity. Literally, to give space for people. That's one of the reasons we're doing this. Man, we have been so, I'm so humbled that honestly anybody shows up any Sunday. It's like every Sunday I'm like, oh my goodness, people are still showing up. It's incredible, right? And what's been happening is we've got visitors every single Sunday. that are driving some a long ways to be part of what God is doing here. And so because of that, we're trying to make some space for people. Not because we're about numbers, like you guys know my heart, you've heard me speak now and preach for 3 years almost, and our heart is not to have a big congregation, to fill a lot of seats, and to look at us, we're a big church. That's not our intention. But at the same time, my goal as your pastor is for us to lead, or for me to follow the leading of the Lord. And so when he brings people, guess what? We're not going to turn them away. We're just not. And so we're trying to add some space. Here's the reality. Second service is completely at capacity. Like there is no more space. It's gotten to a point where we got no space. We're trying to add, you know, chairs where we can and putting people out and overflow, but there's no space. And honestly, this service, if you look around, there are a few seats, but the reality is we're at a point, even in third service on capacity, that there's not going to be a lot more people that even feel welcome to come consistently because of how crowded we are. And so it really is an issue of capacity. But secondly, and this one probably has me the most excited, is that we want to have some freedom. You know, the first one is giving space to people. The second one is we want to give some additional space to God. He has been doing some generous things in our community. The last 6 months, we've been experiencing God in new and fresh ways. And actually, the last 3 months, I think we've entered into, I don't know what it is, but we're just trying to be obedient to what he's doing. But he's been pouring out his love and affection and power and revelation in so many amazing ways. And so as we've been doing that, we've recognized, man, we want to be a church where we can have some space that we go where God goes. Man, if God is sitting in the middle of a service on a song, we don't want to just go to the next song because we have to, right? And so this service is at 5 p.m. and there's no service behind it. And it's exciting because this service is not going to be capped at an hour. So if you like your hour service, you stay in the morning, all right? You keep coming, right? This service is probably going to be an hour and 15, but it could go longer if the Lord's working. We're not here to try to make it longer. Like, I'm not going to try to bore you, but if the Lord is moving, I want to do it. And Jason and I are really excited. That means in worship on these 5 p.m. services, that means we can linger a little bit longer on a song that we feel like the Lord likes in that moment. That means, man, when I get up to preach the word, I cannot wait for this. It doesn't have to be a 25 or 30 minute sermon. I can preach for 35 or 40 minutes. And I am so excited about that. Like, so you have no idea how excited I am. Like Sunday morning, sometimes I'm like, oh Lord, I got so much more, but I got like this much time. And so it's gonna give some freedom. And it's also gonna give some freedom for us to minister, for us to speak out and to speak out what we feel like God is doing in the moment. And so 5 p.m. is gonna be just a free service where we're gonna be just wondering what the Lord is doing. And honestly, I think it's gonna set the tone for our Sunday morning services. If we see what God's doing in the church in the West, we see a people that are returning back to the priority of God, which is his presence. We're a people marked by his presence. And so our first and foremost ministry is to the Lord, right? Like, I want to know, what is God like? What songs does he like? What posture of my humility does the Lord like? And I want to respond to that. And out of that place, then we can minister to y'all. Guess what though? Y'all are secondary to the Lord in this house. You hear me? Like y'all are guests here. That's great. But listen, the guest that we're cared the most about is Jesus himself. And we want to be a church that gives a place for him to be welcomed. Amen to that, right? And so Sunday nights, we're going to have some freedom. The third thing that I think is going to happen with our 5 p.m. service is that it's going to give a place for people to find community. Now, maybe you've been attending here for a while and you're like, man, I just don't know anybody. I love what's going on, but I don't have relationships. I'm not in a small group. I haven't done Equip yet. I think this 5 p.m. service is going to give some space for people to meet relationally. Because remember, a church is first and foremost a family, all right? Now, I know we're all in rows and looking up at me, and that's reality. That's just part of it. But a church is about a fellowship of being together. Amen? Come on. And so we want to give places at 5 p.m. because we'll have the space and time and won't have parking issues where people can connect relationally. I think we're going to do some food trucks and some different things the first few weeks and give people a chance to connect. And so, man, it's going to give some space for relationships. And so here's my ask. This is our church going after something new. We're pioneering something for our church. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you, number one, I want you to pray for our church. I want you to pray for this service. I want you to pray that we would see salvation. People would come to faith, that people would be healed, that people would encounter the living God at this 5 p.m. service. And then here's what I want you to do. In third service, first service gets a pass because there's plenty of space in first service. But for y'all, I want you to really consider and prayerfully consider, would this be something the Lord's calling you to be part of? Would a 5 p.m. service, would you commit to attending for 6 months that service? In addition, would you consider serving once out of every 4 weeks in that service? And so that's my ask for you in the coming weeks. And you can see on the back of this card that if you would like to be part of that group that's going to pioneer this service, you can check out our website, you can register there, or you can stop out at the table the next couple weeks and you can register. I can't tell you how excited I am for this. Like, man, I think God's going to blow our minds at what he's going to do as we give him some more space. Anybody excited about that? Is that clear? We understand what 5 p.m. service, amen, right? 5 p.m. service. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray into it right now. So let's join me in prayer right now as we lift this service up and ask for the blessing of God as we make him known in this region. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we get to be part of this community that we call Christ Fellowship. Thank you that you are the head of this church. And as a body, we're growing into the head and becoming more like you and allowing your kingdom, your rule and reign to be not only in this community, but in our own hearts. And so, Lord, as we step out in what we believe you're doing, Lord, we ask for humility and grace. And Lord, I pray for your empowerment of your spirit in it. Lord, I pray this 5 p.m. service would honor you and would be a place that you would be pleased to dwell. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this community of believers, for those that are going to stay on in the three services in the morning, but those that are also going to join us on this adventure at 5 p.m. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to pull it out. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 33 and the amount of time we got here today. And then we're going to be jumping quickly over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 if you want to get ahead. And so I was going to talk about humility today, but as I said last night, I felt like the Lord was on this word called glory. Everybody say glory. Glory. It's a word we use, we sing about, but honestly, we don't know a lot about. And the reason I say that is because I have found, as I've been studying, I don't know a lot about the glory of God. I just don't. I feel like a little kid, like a student, like, man, I know very little about God's glory. And so today is just a teaser, just a taste of hopefully something I'll be able to unpack in the future as we open up the Word of God together. But today I want to look at glory, and specifically I want to start in Exodus where Moses is having a conversation with the Lord. Now, Moses has led Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're doing their thing. The Lord is giving them the law and how to be a free people. He's trying to grow them up into maturity so they know how to walk in freedom as his people. They've messed up along the way like we all do. And now we have Moses having this conversation with God. And I want to look at here, it starts in verse 14 of 33. It says, and the Lord said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? I and your people, is it not your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth? So just pause here. That's a lot of words and maybe a little confusing. What I love about Moses in this moment, you know what Moses prioritizes more than anything else? The presence of God. He says, listen, God, like, I know you've been here. You've taken us through the Red Sea, but there's no way I'm going any further unless you go with me. See, Moses teaches us something about the presence of God. It is our priority. And he says, I'll go only if you go. And honestly, this is what we're saying. God, we'll do this 5 p.m. service, but you better be there. Like, we're only stepping where you're going because we are a people that prioritize his presence. That's who we are as a church. We value the presence of God. And then this conversation goes on, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. So he says, I will go with you. I will. My presence will be there. He says, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Let's not glaze over that. Like, God says, I know you by name. We see that in the New Testament, that he knows every hair on your head. Do you know that God has a name for you, and he knows you by that? And he goes on in verse 18, it says, and Moses said, here's the line, I ask, please show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. This is what he asked. And look what the Lord responds. This is so interesting. So Moses says, show me your glory. This is what God, I love how God responds. He says, I will be gracious to him and graceful. And this way, I'm sorry, go back. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. So Moses says, Lord, will you show me your glory? And God's response, this is what I'll do. Yes, Moses, I'll do that. And this is how I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to show you my goodness, and I'm going to proclaim who I am, my name. You know why that is? Because the name of the Lord is actually the nature of who God is. It says, I'm going to show you my glory by showing you my goodness and proclaiming who I am by my name. Now, we need to ask the question, what is glory? What in the world is glory? Let me give you a somewhat of a definition, although this word is very hard to grab. It's like defining the word beauty. It's like, how do we do that? But this word glory, as we see it in the scripture, is a word that is associated with a heavy weight. Like there's a weightiness with it. It's a word that means the fullness or the abundance of God's splendor. It's the essence of what makes God perfect and famous. And what we see about glory, it's always connected to the presence of God. Like you're not gonna know and see the glory of God if God is not there. We just need to recognize this. The glory of God is tied to the presence of God. And what we know in the scripture is that the glory of God is all around us. It says the glory of God fills the earth. It says, holy, holy, holy. It's what Isaiah says. And he says that the glory of God is all over the place. And so we as a people, we need to begin to understand that God's glory is all over, and we want to awaken to that. When I look out in nature, man, we have the opportunity to see the glory of God. Man, last night, my boys and I, we were outside in the front yard, and we were looking up in a tree because there was this massive owl hooting. And we went out, and we looked up in the tree, and we could see its shadow at the very top of the tree. And what is that? That's creation. And what does creation point us to? The glory of God. When we have baptism and we're celebrating somebody's salvation, that they were once lost and now they're found, that they were dead and now are alive, guess what that is? That's salvation. Guess what that is? The glory of God shown that he would love somebody who is opposed to him. Somebody say, wake up on this. This is so good, right? The glory of God. When somebody is healed supernaturally, physically healed, what is that? That's the glory of God. I'll tell you, in our staff meeting this week, we were praying. We meet back in this room, and we were praying and reading the scriptures together. And as we were praying, I was sitting there, and just there was a weightiness that came in the room. And I felt like I almost was like holding something, although there was nothing there. And I felt like the way I described it, I could grab a butter knife and I could cut out the atmosphere and I could take it and I could give it to somebody. That's how the weight of it, right? Do you know what that was on Tuesday at 11:30 in the morning? That was the glory of God showing up with his presence. And what I know, based on what we see in Isaiah 43, that you and I, we are created for God's glory. It's what we're created for, to know it, to see it. And so Moses asks this incredible thing, show me your glory. And what we see is that the Lord is gracious and merciful. He does show the glory. He shows him through his goodness, and he proclaims who he is, that he is a God that's slow to anger, that he is merciful, that he is gracious, that he abounds in steadfast love. And as he does this, I want you to see the response of Moses. It says, Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped. He worshiped. You see, man, when we recognize the presence of God, and when he in his grace reveals his glory of who he is, we have one response, and that is to worship. And so what Moses does, he gets down on his face. This is that word barak. You guys remember a couple weeks ago, barak, kneel down. It's a different word here for worship, but it's used oftentimes, but it's very similar. He humbled himself in the presence of God, and he worshiped him because he recognized the worthiness of God in his presence. The glory of God. Response is worship. If you want some homework, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and chapter 7. Solomon has prepared the temple that was in his dad's heart to build, but now he's there. He dedicates it, and it says that the presence of God, the glory of God, fills the temple so much so that the priests couldn't even stand, but they bow their head and they worship and they give thanks. See, this is the rhythm that we see. The presence of God comes, the glory is revealed, and people worship. Worship. Respond to him. This is what we see time and time. Now, as Moses had this encounter with the Lord, you can imagine it was pretty intense. You guys think, 21-day fast is intense. Moses spent 40 days with no food and no water. Thank you. You're welcome. I didn't make you do that, right? 40 days. Like, he's intense. He's a beast, man. And as he's having this communication with the Lord and he's in the glory of the Lord, he's seen the goodness of God. What happens is we recognize that when we see the glory of God, we're changed. We're marked. And so what we see here later is that Moses comes off of the mountain where he was with the Lord and he comes down and he doesn't realize it. But when he gets down there, everybody's like, whoa, whoa. Because the face of Moses is so bright that they say, man, put something over your face so we can talk to you. Because your face is so bright. You know what that was on the face of Moses? It was the glory of God. The glory of God was so bright on him. Because why? Because he had seen, he had beheld God in his goodness, and it changed him. Now you say, Derek, what are we doing with this? Why are we talking about this? Well, I want to show you what happens in 2 Corinthians. Now, if you're there, turn with me. Once again, man, I wish I had an extra 30 minutes to unpack this, but we're going to speed date real quick here. So we got this glory that Moses asked for. The Lord is gracious and shows his glory. It marks Moses. It changes him and his face is shining. And then Paul picks up in his letter to the church of Corinth and he begins to talk about the glory that was on Moses. And he begins to talk about how it was great, but that glory that was on Moses, it was inferior to the glory that we now have in Christ. That the covenant that that Moses was under is inferior to the covenant that we're now under through Christ and his blood for us. And he begins to unpack this incredible passage in chapter 3. And down in verse 17, this is what he says. He says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Anybody hear that? He says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Look at verse 18. It says, and we all with unveiled faces. There's that word veil. Moses had a veil. He says, with us, unveiled faces, we are beholding the glory of the Lord. And as we behold him, we are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is spirit. Now let me try to unpack this just for a second. So, I'm so excited. I can't even take it. So what Paul is trying to get across, he says, God, listen, the veil, the Old Testament, there was a veil and they couldn't really take in the glory of God. But he said, through Christ, when you place your faith in Christ, you become a new creation. And what he says a little bit earlier, that veil is lifted so that you can actually see the glory of God. And what he says in this passage is that as we gaze upon, as we behold the glory of God, something incredible happens. We're changed. We're transformed. And he says it's from glory to glory. Now Moses went from glory, but that glory faded eventually, where he didn't have to wear the veil. It faded. But he said this glory through Christ is glory to glory to glory to glory. And what I believe is for eternity, we're gonna be moving from glory to glory, because for eternity, you and I, as followers of Jesus, we're gonna gaze upon and be in the presence of the glory of God. We're gonna be looking at the glory of God. And as we look at the glory of God, we're gonna be changed. 10,000 years later, guess what? We're gonna look at the glory of God. We're not gonna be like, man, I've seen that, never. No. We're gonna see a new aspect of God and we're gonna be changed. The scripture sometimes says that it's like looking in a mirror. Glory to glory. So we look at the glory of God and what happens, it reflects back to us. That's why Moses' face was all lit up, because he was looking at the glory of God. Now what's incredible at the scripture, it sounds like, you know, that's kind of loose, Derek. Like, where are we going? Like, what is the glory of the Lord? What are we gazing upon? How do I do that? Well, here's the good news about the scripture. It always gives us the answer. See, a little bit later in chapter 4, it says the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So who are we looking to? Who are we beholding? We're beholding the King of glory. His name is Jesus. This is what Hebrews 1:3 says, that the radiance of the glory of God was in Jesus. And as we see Jesus, as we behold him, as we look at him, this incredible transaction happens, that we move from glory to glory, that we receive as we see. And what I want you to know is that as we behold, we become. Whatever you behold in this life, you actually are gonna become like. And the invitation for all of us is not for a 21-day, let's look at Jesus. It's saying, man, we've got a lifetime to look at Jesus. And oh, by the way, when you transition from this life to the next, you're still gonna have an opportunity to look at the glory of God in the Son, Jesus Christ. And what I love about all of this incredible truth is that at the end of Jesus' life, he was preparing for the cross and what he knew was coming. But in John 17, I would encourage you to go check that out this week. John 17, Jesus has this prayer. We call it the high priestly prayer. And he begins early on in that passage that says, Father, return the glory that was on me before the foundation of the earth. So he begins it with glory. But then he gets to the end and he begins to pray for you and me, which is incredible that Jesus would pray for us and that we have it here in the scriptures. He says, the glory that you have been given me, I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me, even as you love me. Look at verse 24. It says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Moses asked, God, show me your glory. And what we see, the desire of Jesus, you know what the desire of Jesus is for you today? For you to see his glory. And he says that glory comes with his presence. He says, Lord, I pray, Father, that they would be with me. That means presence. And here's the good news for all of us, that we, as we read in Ephesians, that we are already seated in heavenly places. You and I are already there, even though our bodies are here. And here's even better news, that Paul says that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. You can't get more with Jesus than you are right now. Now, we can come awake and aware to him more, but right now you are in Christ. And so that's the fulfillment of that. And now what God wants you to do is he wants you to see Jesus' glory, his splendor, his majesty, his worth, his humility, his power, his honor, his fame. He wants us to gaze upon that. And as we do, it reflects back to us and we're changed. Is anybody tracking with me? This is the glory of what God desires, that we would see his glory. And that as we see his glory, it would change us. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to read some scripture over you because I want us to collectively behold Jesus together. This is not something that you have to do with a pastor by any means. It's not something that you have to do in a corporate setting. But based on what Jesus said, based on what we read Paul write in 2 Corinthians, that we are being transformed as we see, as we gaze, as we behold. And so I'm just going to invite you just to close your eyes if you want to. You can keep them open. There's no special formula or whatnot. It just helps with distractions sometimes. And I just want to pray for us, and then I'm going to read some descriptions of Jesus from the scripture. That's profound. And honestly, we don't need any more commentary about the scripture. We're just going to let the scripture speak for itself. And I'm asking the Lord that even as I read the scripture, that you'll come awake to who he is. That Jesus, the one who came, the one who left so that the Spirit could come, and the one who's coming back, would be revealed to you even in this moment, that you would see him for who he is, not for who you want him to be, not for something you had learned when you were a little kid, but you would see Jesus for yourself, and in doing so, you would be transformed by his glory. So Lord, we come to you today and ask the same thing Moses asked. God, will you show us your glory? We ask the desire of Jesus that it would become a reality, that we would see the Jesus glory, that we would be with him, that we would recognize how near he is in every moment. His presence would yield us knowing and experiencing the glory of God. So Lord, help us to see you. Holy Spirit, would you illuminate Jesus to us? As we read the text that you inspired and you gave to John, would you wake us up to who you are, and would you give us a fresh outpouring of your revelation, that we would see Jesus rightly, and our response would be that we would worship with our lives, Lord. Worship with our whole lives. And then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the one that is first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am living forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades." After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on those thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which were the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first like a lion, the second like an ox, the third like the face of a man, and the fourth like the eagle in flight. And the 4 living creatures, each one of them with 6 wings, all with full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down and before him who is seated on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is the word of the Lord. So Lord, we pause right now and we declare that you are worthy. Heaven reverberates with the sound of your praise. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, I pray you would restore in us, even in this moment, a right view of you, that we would see you not as our little Jesus that fits in our pocket, but the Jesus that created the world and yet still desires to know us personally. Lord Jesus, we want to be a people that are about your presence. We want to be a people that look for your face and seek your face. And as we do that, we're transformed. We're made in your image, Jesus. And as we're transformed, that we would take that transformation to our schools, to our workplaces, to our city, that the Tri-Cities would be transformed because there's a group of people that set their gaze upon Jesus and say yes. So Lord, would you continue to reveal yourself, and may we respond appropriately. May we worship you, the only one that is worthy, the one who is the King of glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.